Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, not only is it New Year's Eve, but it's Friday, and you know what that means here.
Start spreading the news.
Yep, Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how are you?
Well, I'm recovering from the end of that basketball game, but I'm doing okay, and hey, less than 7 hours to go, it'll be 2022.
Yes. Oh, and if you'd like to call into the podcast and tell us about your New Year's Eve plans, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Even though, to be honest, I thought today was Saturday, but that's a different story. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. Sadly, no Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkeTime, and I can pass any messages you have for Stu along if you intend them to. So, all right. So, you know, I've been spending probably way too much time watching this Alabama-Cincinnati game, and I got to say, it's not really of any interest to me. I mean, it looks like Alabama is a much better team, and it's 17-6 now, I believe. I don't see any threat that they're actually going to lose. It makes it kind of boring to me, at least. Does it to you?
Yeah, when they hit their second field goal, I thought to myself, well, they're not going to make a concerted effort comeback when they hit a field goal on occasion and cutting the lead to 11 points. It does not look like they're going to pull off the upset today. And, yeah, although Alabama was 12-1 and Cincinnati was 13-0, I think the odds makers were justified as installing Alabama as a 7-point favorite. And so far they're correct in their estimation of the odds of the game.
So, yeah, and then, you know, we'll have the second game today should be much more competitive. We've got Michigan and Georgia. So you would think that would be a much more competitive game, but we'll have to see. You never know with these games. Sometimes they just don't go the way you expect, but this one is clearly, Alabama dominated with the run. I honestly don't know why they went away from it. They started throwing the football. It's like, just go back to handing it off. What are you doing? So,
yeah, I'm wondering if there's going to be a rematch in the for the championship game.
Yeah, it's possible. I know they don't genuinely like those, but since it's two SEC teams, they would be just thrilled if they ended up with a rematch. So,
we'll see if Michigan has any say in the matter, and they have a very strong team, also, of course, and I'm not sure if they can get by Georgia tonight, but as you pointed out, it should be a much more competitive game than the game that we're watching between Alabama and Cincinnati.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, those are, Michigan and Georgia, they're two teams that really have outstanding defenses. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Of course, Alabama had no problem beating up on Georgia's defense, so we'll have to see if Michigan can figure it out.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to be a surprise today and there'll be a little bit more higher scoring game than the experts say it's going to be. We'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if the game's a little bit more high scoring than anticipated.
Yeah, you would think it's just so tough to tell. You would like to think, you know, as long as they get a good game, that would be, you know, okay. But you know, you never know with these games. Sometimes they're really good and they're really competitive, and you know, other times it's like, really, that was Alabama Georgia. You know, that was supposed to be
right.
The game of the year, and it just, you know, God, Georgia was embarrassed. So you would have to wonder if they met again in a championship game, could Georgia even do anything?
You would think that Georgia would be sky high for this game because they would want another opportunity against Alabama. I think it's going to be a competitive contest tonight. It's going to be a close game, and we hope that it's going to be a little bit better than the one so far between Alabama and Cincinnati, at least.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not a huge college football guy anyways.
Yeah, you and me both, and... They have some. I mean, the game on CBS, the noon game, was ridiculous. I mean, they had some kind of minor league game on this afternoon on CBS. It's a 12:00 game, but I wonder what kind of an audience they got for that one.
I seem to be losing you there. You're breaking up a little bit. Let me throw you on hold and see if that will bring it back. So, we haven't had a problem like this in a while. Let me put Stu on hold for a minute here, and we'll see if that see if this helps. All right, say something to me there, Stu. Let me see if this recovered.
Are we back on the track again?
Yeah, you just kind of got washed out. You were underwater there on me for a little bit, and I couldn't quite understand what you were talking about. So
here's the funny thing: when you mentioned that, is that I, at my end, when you said that happening, I thought you were kind of garbled there for a second too. But then when you put me on pause, I thought you came in loud and clear. So whatever technical issues that happened seem to be cleared up, we hope.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know how poorly my internet connection works, that, you know, my good old ATT connection that is just embarrassing. So we'll hopefully we will get through without any issues. So
yeah, I was mentioning the game they had on CBS today at noon. I forgot the two teams, but a couple of obscure teams were involved in the game, and I was wondering what possible kind of audience could they expect for that kind of a contest.
Well, I guess maybe if you went to the school, it was Central Michigan and somebody, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And like you pointed out, maybe if you went to those schools, you might tune in. But what about the rest of the country? Are they going to tune in to watch a game between those two teams?
Well, if it was the only game on, you know, there are people who are fans of college football, and don't forget that I'm sure there was plenty of money on it.
Oh, we know that. And with betting being as easy to do now as it is, I'm sure there was a lot of money involved in terms of wagering.
So, you know, yeah, that's just kind of... you know, kind of how it goes. So.
Yeah, and you were pointing out your lack of interest in college football, and except for, of course, the games tonight and some of the other more important games. But I used to be a lot more interested in college football, and I don't know what it is. The last few years, I kind of have lost my interest. But I used to like to watch some of the Notre Dame games, and even when they weren't ranked, and watch some of the other college games. Maybe when Northwestern was decent or Illinois was a fairly good team and watch some of those games, but my interest seems to have waned over the past few years.
I really lost interest back when I found out they weren't actually student athletes. You know, that always kind of used to appeal to me, that these guys were, you know, going to class and still playing these games and, you know, practicing. And, you know, once that bubble was burst for me, that was kind of the end of it. But the game you were talking about had Central Michigan beating Washington State 24-21. So,
now, is that kind of an upset?
No, Central Michigan was 8-4 coming in. So they were, I think, you know, maybe the better team. I don't know enough about either team to tell you, but they had the better record coming in. And by the way, in case you're wondering, that would be Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Well, that's a prestigious bowl game at least, right?
Yeah, well, it used to be. Now none of them are prestigious because they have a playoff. The only ones that matter are the playoff ones.
Exactly.
And there was actually a game earlier. Maybe it was earlier than that. I don't remember. ESPN had the Tech Slayer Gator Bowl, which saw Wake Forest beat Rutgers 38-10. Now, if you remember, Rutgers was a fill-in. There was a team that had to cancel because of a COVID protocol, and Rutgers got in because they had the best academic rating. So they were able to get in and get a bowl game, even though they basically got it handed to them, which isn't a huge surprise. But
that probably didn't give them all that much time to prepare for the game.
No, but, you know, you get a nice payday for going to a bowl game as a college football team. So
The schools are happy for them to participate because they got a nice chunk of change for being in the bowl game at least.
So, yeah, it's, it's odd that, you know, you say Rutgers, you mentioned Rutgers didn't have a lot of time. I think they had about a week to get ready. While, you know, teams like Alabama and Cincinnati and Georgia and Michigan have been off for, 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah, they may have been off, but I'm sure they practiced every day.
Yeah, but, you know, that's not the same as the gameplay. And, you know, if you are interested, there are 5 bowl games tomorrow, including Notre Dame. They have the noon game on ESPN. They're facing Oklahoma State in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl.
Well, that should be a competitive game at least.
You know, and then the Rose Bowl game is after that, which is a game I used to love to watch every year when it was Big Ten against Pac-10. This year it's Ohio State representing the Big Ten, and Utah is their opponent, who is not a Pac-12 team. So,
yeah, that's an odd – you would think that it would be a – but that thing went out the window a few years ago, and it's they used to have a great attendance when there was a Big Ten team against a team like, for example, UCLA or USC. They would have 100,000 people at the Rose Bowl watching those games, but I don't think the excitement is there anymore as it was years ago.
Well, you know, I'm sure they do pretty well because, you know, Ohio State does travel well. So, you know, I mean, that should do okay. And, you know, the other games here, it actually starts off, we have Penn State and Arkansas playing the Outback Bowl. Then there's the Oklahoma State-Notre Dame game. Then there is Iowa and Kentucky in the Verbo Citrus Bowl. Then we'll get the Rose Bowl with Utah and Ohio State. And then the night wraps up with Baylor and Ole Miss in the All-State Sugar Bowl. So.
Yeah, years ago there were only 3 or 4 bowl games, I remember. Now they're just 4 times the amount at least.
Yeah, there are 42 or 3, I believe, that are actually scheduled. Obviously this year quite a few of them got canceled due to COVID. So
yeah, when I first started paying attention to college football, I think they only had the Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. And that was about it in terms of bowl games for college football.
Yeah, now they have so many you can't keep track of them.
No, it's difficult. It's almost impossible to keep track of it. And as you pointed out, I'm sure the general public is only paying attention to the, for example, the today's games, the Alabama-Cincinnati and the Michigan-Georgia games. That's where all the money's going up, can be betting, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's put money on these other games, which I'm sure, I'm sure tomorrow people will tune in to get their fix of, whatever college football they're interested in. I mean, I'm sure I'll end up watching a little bit of the Notre Dame game just because I always do. I still watch those as much as, I can kind of stomach. I can't get through a whole game, but, I try. I do.
Yeah, it's hard to me to see that there will be much action in today's game between, was it Central Michigan and Washington State? But I'm sure there was some wagering involved, but I'm sure not to the extent of any of the other games you mentioned, either today or tomorrow.
Obviously, the drawback they had was being on the same day as these other two games. Otherwise, they probably would have got a little more betting action had they been the only game or one of only, a few games on. So.
Well, to the true gambler, action is action. And, it doesn't make a difference who's playing or action is action and wagering is wagering. And I'm sure that there was some money that we're betting the game today.
Oh yeah. I'm sure, there always is. Somebody's always betting on something.
Yeah, now that it's legal like it is right now, I wonder if the bookies are out of business. We talked about that briefly. I'm not sure if anybody even has to bother with the bookies anymore if they want to make a wager. Mm-hmm. There's no need.
You do wonder, if people still go that route. Or like you said, do they even have to with, everything going on? You just go online now and put your wagers in.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, the big thing was, I don't know if you've even heard the term, but a lot of the students, although it was illegal, of course, were betting on what they call parlay cards. Did you ever hear of those?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I wonder if they even exist anymore.
Yeah, no, I had a friend who, when he got his first construction job, there was a guy there who would get everybody to play parlay cards.
Yeah, that was a big thing then. That was a very, very popular form of gambling, both on the college and the professional level. And, of course, I think the money was went to the boys, but whether it exists anymore, I would be surprised.
Yeah, I think, again, you just kind of do most of that stuff online. If you want to play a parlay, you set it up for a parlay.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to go through anything or anybody or anything like that. You just kind of go, and there you are.
Yeah, I always got amused by the various commercials they have for gambling now. And at the end of the commercial, in a very, very small print, they always have some disclaimer saying, if you have a gambling problem, call this number, but I don't think too many people pay attention to that little disclaimer they have.
Yeah, I wonder if they're required to do that, or
probably are. I bet they're. Yeah. I bet you're right. I bet that's a requirement. They must have some kind of disclaimer there, but it's pretty small and pretty quick when it passes by you at the very end of the commercial.
Yeah, because, even like ESPN has their own gambling show called Daily Wager, and Fox Sports had the first one. What was it? It was originally called Lock It In. Now it's Fox Bet Live. And, even they show that same message, during their programs.
Yeah, I wonder if you construe that there was a conflict of interest based on when they started analyzing the games, the various announcers for the ESPN talking about the games, who they think's going to win, wouldn't that be construed as such, possibly?
Yeah, well, you know, it would be, except these are different guys who do it. They actually use, I don't know if they're all professionals, but, you know, people who are immersed in that culture of betting on games. So they don't use, you know, like the guys who are calling the game, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a few people that actually make a living doing that, but, boy, it seems like an awful dangerous way to make a living.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, that's quite a tough way to make a living.
Yeah, if you it'll be hard. I mean, if you say you had a 5 or 6 team parlay and you won first 5 games and big money was running in the last game, would you even have the guts to sit down and watch that game or not? It'd be awfully difficult.
Yeah, it's not an easy way to make a living. I don't know how, you know, there are people who do it. I've seen actual documentaries on, you know, guys who do it for a living. So, you know, good for them. I'm glad it's not me. I would probably be dead of a heart attack by now.
Yeah. I think you mentioned, aren't there a few people on FanDuel and some of those other ones that make a lot of money doing this?
Yeah, there are, you know, that's, again, you know, it's a daily, you know, hey, here you go, go make some money type of thing. There are people who do that. So.
Yeah, now you can even wager, as I pointed out to you, on the horses, too, on that TVG channel. The game channel and harness and flats and download the app and wage a few bob and have some fun. They always say have some fun, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, when you're winning, it's fun, right? It's just when
Yeah, I remember when I used to enjoy myself quite a bit when I won an occasional race or two, but I didn't have a good time when I was losing.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite as much fun when you're not winning, is it?
Not at all.
But yeah, there's so many so many ways to do it now without having to, you know, make it shady, I guess you could call it, like it used to always seem or be or however you looked at it. So,
I pointed out there's so many commercials now for various different companies that offer this service, and I'm wondering if there's any difference between one or the other, or are they all, it's the same service, that they are there any inducements for going from one to the other?
No, you know, basically, you know, it's, they're all set up just a tad differently, you know, point-wise or, you know, however they're doing it. So.
But when you think about it, it's amazing how skillful the actual handicappers are who work with the point spread. Like, how many times have you seen there's a 3-point spread and it'll wind up with 3 points, and then, of course, the tie doesn't go to the player, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, the tie goes to the house in general.
Yeah, and how many times does that happen when you see a tie? Those guys are so good at their handicapping that they can nail it quite a bit of the time.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the toughest jobs to have, is to figure out a point spread. You know, how do you decide where to put things?
Yeah, there's so many variables too. I mean, you can decide on a point spread, and then what happens if there's a rainstorm? How will that affect the game? Or one of the top players gets injured during the course of the game, and you can't account for everything.
Yeah. You know, but I get, you know, and I also guess that's why they're adjusted as much as they are. You know, right up to game time, they're fiddling with point spreads.
Yeah, so those spreads actually can change right up to game time.
So yeah, you just gotta, you know, again, if you know that's your thing, I hope you do well. I don't think I throw my FanDuel stuff in there every once in a while when I remember. But yeah, I could never do it for a living like that. That would drive me nuts.
Well, you don't invest too much in it, and so you have fun doing
no
it.
No idea. A couple bucks here, a couple bucks there.
Yeah, I mean that's nothing. But some of these guys that put up the big money, it's got to be a nerve-wracking way to deal with things. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, especially if it's, you know, a tight game, or you've got a large amount of money riding on something. So
yeah, it's a pressure-packed situation, that's for sure.
You know, yeah, that would make it even worse for me if, you know, or if your team lost by a fluke, or even, you know, imagine, you know, I'm sure they probably ended up covering, but you know, imagine if you had the Pacers today, you know, they got beat by a last second shot.
Yeah, but they probably were given some points. Maybe they were given enough points so it didn't make any difference. I'm not sure.
Because they ended up losing by, what was it, one?
Two. It was a 3-point shot.
The Bulls were, you know, probably a little more than a 3-point favorite, or may have actually been a 3-point favorite. So
if you bet the Pacers, you wound up with, you get the 3 points, you would win your bet.
Yeah, you would have just won.
I bet you a lot of guys, and there's been situations in which a guy is ready to win his money, and then the game goes into overtime, and then one of the other team gets blown out in overtime, and his bet is lost.
Yeah, that I know overtime costs people a lot of their, you know, like when you bet a game under, then, you know, it goes into overtime. In most cases, it goes over.
Sure.
So, you know, and it's just like, oh, great.
Money.
Right? And then it went into overtime.
Yeah, it's a tough way to make a buck.
Yeah, looking at it here, it looks like you could have got Indiana anywhere from with 3 to 4 points. So if you did bet Indiana, you did win. So
yeah. And that to me looked like a good bet when you think about it, because the Bulls are on a 5-game win streak and Indiana's playing at home, and you got to give the home team a few point advantage. And Indiana's maybe a couple of games below 500, but they're not a bad ball club. So that might have been a good wager to take.
Yeah, and you know, playing, you know, when you're at home, you always get no matter who you are or who you're playing, you get a certain amount of, you know, points kind of pushed your way. You know, obviously if it's, you know, the best team against the worst team, then, you know, it's a different story, but, so.
Yeah, and of course, Indiana, I think, had a bring someone up today to the squad because of a COVID situation, and I'm sure that didn't help many.
No, yeah, it's ugly, but you know, like if you get, you know, the Golden State Warriors against the Detroit Pistons, even if it's in Detroit, you know, Golden State is still going to be a really big favorite. So.
Did Phoenix play Boston today? I'm trying to remember. Did Boston wind up beating Phoenix?
Had, There was an earlier game. Let me double check it and see if it was Boston and Phoenix. But I know there was a game on to start. Yeah, Boston beat Phoenix 123-108.
Well, that's a pretty impressive win when you think about it, because didn't Phoenix tie for one of the best records in the league now?
Yeah, they were 27-7 coming into the game. So, and Boston is under 500, but they did get a big win.
Yeah.
And it was Boston, so that
helped. Of course, I venture to say the game had to be in Boston, of course.
Yeah, it was. So, and there is actually a game going on right now. The Sacramento Kings are currently ahead of the Dallas Mavericks by 5 points in the first quarter. So.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a very exciting game, does it?
No, well, it would be if Luka Doncic was playing, but I think he's still out. So.
Yeah, the injuries have always seemed to mount up in the NBA. We've talked about that before.
So, yeah, he's had an ankle that he's been recovering from for, geez, it seems like almost 2 months now, and then I believe he went into COVID protocol, but he was still recovering from his ankle injury, so it didn't matter. If you are interested and you're awake, you can watch the Portland Trailblazers with the Los Angeles Lakers at 9:30 on NBA TV.
Well, that game's going to get over, around midnight?
Yeah, with the NBA games, yeah, probably. That would sound about right.
Well, it's good to see that, I guess, hockey resumed today also.
I saw an announcement that they did make some more postponements, but I don't believe it was anything this weekend, at least I don't think. But, yeah, there was one postponement, or three postponements today. Two games are final. New Jersey beat Edmonton 6-5 in overtime, and Vegas beat Anaheim 3-1. And then there's two more games tonight. We have the Rangers at the Lightning and the Capitals at the Red Wing.
With all the postpones in hockey, and there's been probably more than any of the other sports, are they going to be able to finish their complete season?
They always seem to find a way to do it, so we'll have to see. I don't know, what their plans are or how they'll go about it, but, we'll have to see what they have going on.
Like the Blackhawks, for example, they haven't played, at least a week, if not longer?
Yeah, just something close to that. Yeah, it's been a little while since they've been on the ice. But they're playing back to back this weekend. They have Saturday, they have tomorrow and Sunday.
Well, it's good to see them back in action again, at least, and we'll see how they fare.
Yeah, hopefully, they're okay. We'll have to see if there's any ill effects from them being off.
Yeah, I saw they brought a couple of players that were on injured reserve back up to the regular lineup again. I can't remember who they are.
Oh yeah, I didn't see any roster moves they made. I can't say I was paying close attention, but I don't know. I didn't even know who was. I can't remember who's hurt and
remember.
Who's playing.
I think there was somebody they brought up to the main roster.
Most of the time I'm lucky to, considering I was thinking all day today that it was Saturday, it's pretty odd.
Well, you got to take advantage of the weekend, your long weekend now, because the holidays are done for a while, but of course you have all your vacation coming at least, so you can take advantage of that.
Yeah. So, this holiday is basically going to be about shoveling snow, right, after we get hit with all that?
Yeah, the forecast does not look pleasant, but we'll maybe be closer to 4 inches than 8 inches, and we'll all take that, I suppose.
Yeah, it seems to be the theory that in our, you know, where you and I are, we'll probably get about 4 inches. You know, they're going to get some lake effect, so that's going to push up those totals closer in, you know, in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
But hopefully, you know. And, you know, it should make the Bears game interesting on Sunday. Are they home or are they on the road?
I believe this is their last home game of the year. They're playing a team they could beat, the Giants, New York Giants, before they go on the road next week to wrap the season playing the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, and I still haven't seen any announcement who the Bears' starting quarterback is going to be. Have you heard anything?
Not officially, but I know that Fields was taking some reps, so maybe they're going to put him back into the starting lineup next week.
Oh, here, it's right. Andy Dalton is going to start.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, so.
And why would they do that if they're not going to play Fields? Why would they put Dalton in instead of sticking with Nick Foles?
I think Dalton, if he's healthy, is the better quarterback of the two. So.
And are the Bears actually a favorite, a slight favorite for this game?
Yeah, they. I haven't looked officially here. Let me see if I can grab it real quick. But they are. They're actually a 6-point favorite.
Boy, that sounds like a lot. I would have said 3 points, maybe 3.5.
Well, generally the line is when you're the home team and you're going to be favorite, you're given 3 points. So then anything else above that is just kind of what's added in.
Well, obviously,
but yeah,
they're playing a subpar team, of course.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's two subpar teams in reality.
That's exactly
I mean,
right.
The Giants,
exactly
the Bears are
right.
5-10. So, you know. But, you know, the Bears are on projection to hit my win total. If they win out, they'll be 7-10. So,
well, you said 6. I thought, didn't you say 6? They're going to win 6 this season?
Okay, well, maybe it was 6. I can't remember anymore. But, you know, they're going to be close.
Right. And, well, of course, when they bring a new coach in for next season, you know, it'll be a big turnaround, right?
Well, you know, I mean, and you know, NFL teams can turn around quickly. You know, a lot's just going to depend on who they hire and who gets the, you know, I'm assuming they're going to clean house and get rid of the GM as well. So who gets that job and, you know, how they kind of work those things out.
Well, maybe Pete Carroll will leave the Seattle team and come to coach the Bears.
Yeah, well, that was one of the rumors that popped up this morning I heard. Apparently the other hot name is the Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator, whose name I'm drawing a blank on. I saw that yesterday. That he's apparently a very popular choice right now to be at least interviewed or maybe get the job here in Chicago.
Well, I'm sure he's a lot younger than Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah. So. But, yeah, I would be quite surprised if Seahawks moved on from Carroll. I mean,
yeah.
I get they're having a down year, but.
I don't see him moving to coach the Bears. I think that's that rumor is not gonna come true.
It's I want to call it almost wishful thinking that the Bears won out there for their fans. You know, it was kind of like talking about hiring Ryan Day, like he was actually going to leave Ohio State to come coach the Bears. So,
not going to happen.
No, you know, but it's nice to, I want to say, tease your fans with these big hires before you disappoint them with somebody they've never heard of like Matt Nagy.
They've also teased the Northwestern coach, too, but that's not going to happen either.
You know, and a lot of teams do that. Anytime there's a coaching opening for, you know, some teams, you hear all these big names, but rarely do they end up being the hire. So it's just what they do to kind of get a little buzz or a little excitement into talking about their team.
Yeah, well, the Bears need some a little buzz, I would think. But when they clean house at the end of the season, that let the coaching hiring begin.
Yeah, you know, and you know, obviously the best thing for them to make a quick turnaround would be to see Aaron Rodgers sign someplace else and not be in a Packer uniform next year.
But that would help them.
You know, that would easily throw the whole division up in arms.
Yeah,
so
there would be no clear-cut favorite then, would there?
Yeah, it would be interesting to know who would end up being the favorite, you know, because Minnesota's not a bad team, you know, and then you know, obviously you're taking away one of the best players in the NFL away from the Packers. That would bring them down to the pack. You know, if the Bears or the Lions improve greatly in the offseason, I mean, it could be an interesting division. It would be a bad division, but it would be an interesting division. They would actually have a shot.
Yeah. If the Bears clean house, as anticipated in terms of coaching, is Pace gone also?
Boy, you know, I would think so with his history, because he hasn't really hit on a monster draft pick. I mean, when you look at it, probably have to say his best draft pick is David Montgomery, and he's not really a world beater. I mean, he's a quality NFL running back, so why would you keep him around to continue to do this? I mean, just start over with a new set of, you know, general manager and head coach.
Yeah, this has been kind of a revolving thing for the Bears over the past 10, 15 years, hasn't it, in terms of general managers and coaches and everything else, and they still haven't hit upon anything that would give the Bears a consistent winner year after year.
Yeah, well, you know, and like I thought Pace was a really interesting hire coming out of the Saints system, because, you know, they had always done a really nice job. You know, and he got here and pretty much nothing.
No.
You know, the Bears aren't the only team that have this problem. It's just the local team that you and I have. So,
yeah, we, as I pointed out to you, when I first started becoming a Bear fan, they didn't always win, but they always had a good team. They always had a team that would give anybody a battle. But no longer.
Yeah, no, when I started watching, they were bad. You know, I know teams didn't like to play them because they were, you know, rough and tough, and they were, you know, the monsters of the Midway, but they weren't very good.
And it's been this way for a long, long time.
So, yeah, you know, and then, you know, they got better. You know, I mean, they did get that one Super Bowl. Disappointing that it was just one. I thought they could have had a team that could have won more than one Super Bowl, but, you know, it is what it is. At least they got one.
Yeah, and it's been 35 years plus now. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Of course, they had that one shot against Indianapolis, 10, 15 years ago?
Has it been that long? Yeah. So, you know, that looked like it might be, they had a, you know, an outside chance there, but, you know, just didn't go their way.
No. And that's the game they could have won. I don't think the team they played was all that great either that year. It was a weak Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, and it started off really well with the kick return for a touchdown, but, you know, that didn't last.
I saw some controversy. You're talking about, when Devin Hester, when he started the game out running for a touchdown, that whether or not he should be elected to the Football Hall of Fame, and I would think there's some good points either way, but I would say no myself.
You know, it's always tough when it comes to, you know, a guy who legitimately was just a kick returner. He never really succeeded at any other position, but to his point, he is the best kick returner to ever do it. So,
yeah, is a special team player worthy of being in the Hall of Fame.
So, you know, I mean, doesn't being the best count for something?
I suppose so. I suppose it does, but there has been a little controversy about it, though. It'll be interesting to see what happens ultimately.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there always seems to be, you know, obviously he's still got a little ways to go to get in, but
yeah,
you know, there's always a guy out there that somebody looks at and goes, well, is he, you know, did he do enough to really be in the Hall of Fame? You know, in just about every sport.
Yeah, a lot of times it's in baseball, kind of. It seems like in baseball there's a lot of discussion and controversy about some players, whether or not they're quite good enough to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and, you know, again, that makes sense. You do wonder, and especially now with the way things have changed in sports. You know, I mean, before it was a guarantee in baseball if you got to, you know, 300 wins or 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, you were going in the Hall of Fame. But now guys don't put up those numbers anymore, especially pitchers.
Yeah. It's a whole different ballgame now with pitching.
Yeah, how do you judge these guys? I mean, they don't rack up any innings. They don't get a ton of wins. You know, how do you look at that guy and go, oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I don't see anybody who pitches only 5 or 6 innings even being considered to be a Hall of Famer. But that's the
way the sad part
baseball
is now.
Guys
are going to start eventually. You know, when you start to look at it, I mean, those guys are going to get voted in.
Yeah. I wouldn't vote them in.
Yeah, I can't see them going in, but, you know, again, with the way the game has changed, you know, I mean, once you get past some of these guys, like I assume Justin Verlander goes in, I assume Clayton Kershaw goes in, you know, and I'm sure there are a few other guys that are still pitching today that are going to get in who pitched, you know, kind of through the era where a pitcher used to go 7-8 innings, you know, before they switched over to, you know, the 5-inning deal, or in some cases less. But, yeah, after that, I mean, how do you justify these guys getting in?
Yeah, I suppose you can always say that it's not the pitcher's fault if the manager decides to pull him after 5 innings or 6 innings. It just, he has no say in the matter. So does that make a difference?
You know, I mean, I don't have a vote, but I think it's going to have to, isn't it? I mean, sabermetrics really ruin pitching, you know, because you can't go through, you know, you're not supposed to go through the lineup 3 times because, you know, that 3rd time they've got you figured out and they're going to knock you around. Well, maybe if you're not a good pitcher, they're going to knock you around. If you're a good pitcher, you can still get out.
Yeah, with all the sabermetrics and the fact that the pitchers only pitch 5 or 6 innings, there's still umpteen number of Tommy John injuries that occur every year.
Yeah, so it's just, it's baffling. So, you know.
Of course, we could look back at it years later and say, well, we used to know about baseball, but not that sport is no longer in existence because of the impasse with the players and the management.
Yeah, who knows? They may kill the game, you know, this off season, and we may not have to worry about it. So
that's right. And I don't know about you, I've heard zero about any kind of discussions or anything regarding the lockout.
I just saw something about one of the impasses they were at, and of course it had to do with money. It didn't have to do with anything else. They were trying to figure out how to split the millions of dollars or billions of dollars they make up. And, you know, of course, the owners wanted more of it, and, you know, the players wanted more of it. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's still too early right now to worry about it.
Yeah. But, hey, another month and a half, it's in the time, almost time for spring training.
Yeah, then it's time to be concerned.
That's
spring
right.
training and they don't have then there's going to be issues. But all right, well, let's jump into some picks here. You had a down week. You were 1-3, so you're going to need to bounce back here. And we'll start off with tomorrow in the afternoon. The Blackhawks are in Nashville to take on a very good Nashville Predators team. Who you got getting the win?
Well, I'm going to have to think about that hard for a second, and I will pick Nashville to win the game.
All right, and we're going to stick with the Blackhawks because they are playing back-to-back, so we will go to Sunday where they come home to take on the Calgary Flames. In case you don't know, Calgary is actually 16-7-6 on the year, and they've accumulated 38 points, but they are on the road. So who you got winning Sunday? You got the Blackhawks getting a win, or you like Calgary?
I will take Calgary to win that one also. Over
All
a clean
right.
clean Blackhawks sweep for the weekend.
All right, and then we will stick on Sunday. As you know, we mentioned it earlier, the Bears are a six-point favorite. You taking the Giants and the points, or are you going to give them with the Bears?
Well, reluctantly, I'm going to pick the Bears to cover the spread this time.
All right, so you're going to need the Bears to win by a touchdown. That'll be interesting. And then the game total is set right now at 37. Do you see that going over or under, both teams combined, over 37 or under?
I'll go with under.
Yeah, and you do have to wonder if the weather will be a factor in there. All right, so we will lock that in and see how you do. You are 89-76, so like you mentioned last week, you will end the year with a winning record.
That's right. We have to start fresh now, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we'll take a week or two off, or well, maybe we'll do one next week because it's the final week of the football season, and you know, then we'll take a little time off and see what we can come up with. We'll see how it goes. We'll play it by ear and see how things are. But, you know, and it is Friday. Are you going to remember to watch AEW? What is it? Is it Rampage on Friday night? That's what it's called?
I almost always forget to watch that one. But, hey, talking about that, I'm gonna give you two free predictions, all right? One, I predict that the Bulls will continue their winning streak and beat the Wizards. I think they're on the road for, I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or Sunday, but they are playing the Wizards. I'll go with the Bulls to go for the seventh straight win. And I predict that Brock Lesnar will defeat Roman Reigns on tomorrow to win the title.
Oh, I actually just read that they didn't think there were going to be any title changes at that.
Oh.
What are they calling it? Day one or something like that?
Oh, yeah, day one. That's a pay-per-view tomorrow night. Maybe they're gonna build it. I thought that he was going to Hollywood to make a movie. That's why I figured he'd drop the strap tomorrow.
So I read something somewhere that they want to build to WrestleMania with those two as the main event, and apparently that's where the title change will happen. But, you never know. They're so flighty with the way they put things together there that anything could happen. And did you see the big issue they had? I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Apparently, the one girl, Toni Storm, just up and quit and paid for her ticket home and left.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so.
So she's going to sign with somebody else, but I'm sure there's a 90-day non-compete clause.
Yeah, she'll have to. Well, maybe, you never know. It's 90 or 30, depending on what her contract was set up like. But, yeah, I thought it was, it's always odd to me when they just quit. I understand you get released. They do, obviously WWE does a lot of that, but they didn't release her. She apparently just quit.
Yeah. Was she burned out? Any reason why she quit?
No, they haven't, nobody's given a reason. She hasn't talked to anybody or did any interviews or anything, but they were pushing her. She was in a feud with Charlotte Flair on SmackDown. I think it's SmackDown. So she had been a pretty big feature, or at least being pushed. I don't know if she was a big feature. I know she just lost the title match last week. So I don't know what the plans were. And again, in WWE, you never know what the plans are because I don't think they know. That was it. Packed it in.
A lot of changes in the wind. And is Paul Heyman going to be in Brock Lesnar's corner tomorrow? Has that been decided yet? Or?
No, I haven't heard what the plans are for him. So.
And I heard that Seth Rollins had COVID now. Is he going to compete in that title match tomorrow?
I don't believe he's going to compete. I did hear it was a three-way anyways.
Oh, it was four-way.
So a four-way? Yeah, so I guess they could always just run it as a three-way.
Because they added Bobby Lashley, remember? So he was the fourth one. So maybe it'll make it a three-way now if Rollins can't compete.
So, yeah, I haven't heard anything about anybody being added or anything like that. So,
as I mentioned to you, by the way, in a couple of emails, it's becoming more and more difficult for me to watch the product because, boy, the AEW Wednesday was horrible, I thought. It's funny that I mentioned I hate these gimmick tag matches, and wouldn't you know it, the first match on the program was a 10-man tag team match.
Yeah. So, yeah, I recorded it, and I still haven't watched it, and I'm probably to the point now where I won't.
Well, I'll try to at least watch one match on Rampage tonight if I can.
Yeah, I don't think I'll make it till midnight, but I can probably make it through Rampage, so. Had the results, so I know what happened, so I'll probably pick and choose what I want to watch. But let's get out of here, and you can go start your New Year's Eve party.
All right.
All right, the music is double two, and I'm rolling out. So everybody out there is safe and happy to you. We're going to be losing listeners. Take care of yourself. I want to let you know that you're firsthomeradio.com. Look for the blog popping up over there tomorrow. Get that link and I'll take you over to the Facebook page. And since you're not over there, go ahead and give that a like. Now, don't forget to Twitter feed at firsthomeradio. And, of course, I'm on Twitter too at firsthom. If you want to see CIM, if you want to look up there. And then if you came on this live, well, thank you for doing that. We really appreciate that. But if you have a Happy New Year, everybody.